thank the Lord for the day of gathering. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of the angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your holy name, O Lord. Our Redeemer, our everything, blessed be your holy name. There is no other name that is blessed. There is no other name that is holy. There is no other name that is powerful. When we say your name, O Lord, we feel the liberty. When we utter the name, O Lord, we are remembered that we are saints and kings in thy kingdom.
Amen.
When we speak of your name, O Lord, we remember who we are, the part of the word of God, the inheritance that we received, that no man can match, that no world can replace, the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, our Prince, our provision, our bread of life, our everything, our groom, our husband man, our maker. Lord, we thank you.
Yes, Lord.
And Lord, we truly do not know how to glorify your name. And we truly do not know how to thank you. Lord, we have to live a life. The life tells you, thank you, Lord. We have to live a life. The life glorifies you. Blessed be your holy name, O Lord. Our Lord, come and teach us today. You are the teacher. You are the preacher. You are the pastor, you are the evangelist, you are the apostle, you are the prophet, you are all in all.
Amen.
The only shepherd, the good shepherd. Lord, come and minister unto us.
Amen.
Speak to us, O Lord, speak to our hearts, speak to our soul, speak to our spirit, that we may conform to your beautiful, beautiful image, that we may, O Lord, attain the perfection that you purge us, O Lord, by the blood of Jesus Christ. You purge us, O Lord, by the sanctification of truth. You purge us, O Lord, by the anointing of the oil of joy. Wash us thoroughly, O Lord, today as we surrender at thy feet, for we know nothing but you, and we have no one but you. And Lord, that is sufficient for all of us. That is more than what we could imagine. Having God who dwells in the midst of us, having the Spirit of God, the Comforter, who dwells in the temple of the Holy Ghost. Help us, Lord. Bless us. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom and God bless you all. We thank the Lord for bringing all of us here today, and I want to thank you all for your prayers. For my safe journey, I reached Singapore last Tuesday. I want to thank the Lord for the journey. Whether it is safe or harm, whether it is pain or joy, at the end of the day, it is just a journey. It starts somewhere, it ends somewhere. Amen. It's all about the ending, because during the process of our life, we may fail, we may fall, we may suffer, we may be hurt, we may be broken, but the end is where everything is restored, like the life of Job. All the blessed assurance of God will manifest at the end. Amen. The crown of glory will be placed at the end, not during the process. We must complete the race. We must complete what the Lord wants us to complete. Then the glorification comes. If we look at the perfect sequence of God's redemption, sanctification, not sufficient.
I must manifest Him. Manifestation, not sufficient. I must be justified. Justification, not sufficient. I must be perfect. Perfection, not sufficient. At the end of the day, I must be redeemed. Redemption. Redemption for what? Glorification. Why? The only way you and me can glorify God is to complete the redemption that He has been expecting from every one of us. Redemption needs perfection. Perfection needs justification. Justification needs manifestation. Manifestation starts where our life is sanctified. Sanctification. So there are so many stages, seasons, but the Lord is purging us, washing us, encouraging us, edifying us, rebuking us, chastening us, removing things from our life, adding things to our life. He's keep on doing something that we are changing. Not just growing, because growing is not changing. Changing may also involve losing. Go lean, not just go strong. Even to go weaker, it is also part of the divine change. Because I must be weak. Let Him be my only strength. So we thank the Lord that the perfect sacrifice and acceptable service, the last sermon, the Lord needs to lead us. The Lord has to guide us so that we can continue where this sweet river takes us today. Because the words of the Lord are like the river that takes Moses through the rocky journey. And that ark of bulrush cannot be damaged, cannot be destroyed by any power on earth. Because the river that carries the bulrush is completely under the subjection of our Lord Almighty. Our life. Amen? Yes. We are all sealed by the Holy Ghost. Like how Moses was sealed by the mother in the ark of bulrushes. Nobody could see him. The army of Egypt was searching to kill the children. But Moses was not to be found. Why? They were searching for the children on the dust or the land, on the earth. But the Lord placed him on the river. We are not river creatures. We are not be able to breathe in the ocean. But the Lord made Moses to float and sail. Like what we did to Noah and his family. There was a floating race above the storm. Race above all the challenges. And the journey was completed. So now, if the Lord is expecting us to give Him something that is acceptable, not perfect in our sight, but what is acceptable in His sight, that is the process of perfection. Amen? Because most of the time, our eyes will tell us, this is perfect to God, but we forget the fact that if I myself not perfect, how can I measure that this is perfect? If my eyes are crooked, how can I say that this road is straight? We can't. So what the Lord has given us a revelation, do what is acceptable to me. By doing so, you submit thyself for purging, sanctification, and that will lead you towards perfection, redemption. And in that process, we have the blessed promise of manifestation and justification. Justification is impossible by flesh. It can be only done by the Spirit, because it is Scripture. Justified by Spirit, justified in Spirit, justified for Spirit, justified through Spirit, because that is how we are created. But manifestation must be done in flesh, because manifestation is something to be seen, something to experience, something to be revealed, something to be understood. But God is Spirit. No one can see Him. No one can understand Him. No one can touch Him. No one can experience Him, because God is Spirit. So manifestation pointing to flesh, justification pointing to Spirit, but sanctification pointing to our sinful life being purged to the Lord, and glorification pointing to God Almighty, who gave His only Son, who resurrected glorified, Jesus Christ seated at the right hand of the Father, the word glorification always pointing to the glory of God. And that glory of God is sitting on the throne because He came down, fulfilled the purpose, He ascended, glorified. So glorification is pointing to the bride who will be redeemed back to the glory where she was, glory to glory, and in that redemption, the name of the Lord is glorified by all the angels, the 24 elders, the four beasts, all the heavenly realm. They will tell Him, Lord, You found what You lost. But He did not lose. We fell, we isolated ourselves from Him, and the Lord yet found the lost sheep. Then His name is Shepherd, He is a Redeemer, He is the Lord who has never ever lost a battle. His name will be glorified when the bride is redeemed to Him, when the very lost sheep is completely saved from the path of death and destruction. So the glorification is the responsibility of bride. How can I honor my husband? Ask yourself, the wife of Christ honors the husband by part of his redemption plan and be redeemed. Then the husband is honored because the wife has come. That is the true glorification. Not just we show the scripture and I do the same scripture. People can do it for different purpose, different intents. Nobody can cheat the Lord. But it is all at the end. The end will reveal what belongs to God, what belongs to men. So today, by the grace of God, if the Lord is expecting us acceptable service, because none of us can provide perfect service. None of us can offer perfect service because we are not in heaven. We are in the footstool of the Lord, earth. We are going through the process of escaping from serpentine nature to receive the divine nature of Christ. It's a journey. But the Lord says, give your best. Do your best, but not to harm yourself, but do it with joy, like Abel. Now that acceptable sacrifice was the main theme of last sermon. Because what is acceptable is what is the only way for us to be perfected. What is perfect is you and me cannot understand. Because the Lord says, be ye perfect. He did not say you are perfect. In the whole scripture, the Lord never said, you are perfect. The Lord never said to His children, oh my dear children, you are all perfect. No, He said, I am perfect, be ye perfect, let there be light. Which means it is a process of hope of eternal glory. It is yet to be done. And that is why He introduced grace. The grace gives all of us the time and space to be part of that promise, be ye perfect. Amen? Amen. But what we do? Acceptable. Lord, is it acceptable? Lord, is it acceptable? That question should be echoing in our heart. In everything we do, in the name of the Lord, for the name of the Lord, in the house of the Lord, for the house of the Lord, we have to counsel, Lord, is it acceptable? Because that is a thin line between perfection of the world and the perfection in the Word of God. So may the Lord guide us as we continue from 1 Timothy chapter 3. We all know the verse 16. As I mentioned a few months ago, worldly Christians celebrate John 3:16. The Christians who follow the Word of God will celebrate 1 Timothy 3:16. Isn't it? Because that is where Godhead is beautifully revealed. But John 3:16 is just has become a marketing verse for worldly churches who wants to preach worldly desires. But 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, let there be no doubt, let there be no argument, let there be no strife, let there be no confusion, because when a revelation comes, there is no option B, there is no plan B. It is what it is. The Lord will make it clear, because it is God who is revealing. So who is Christ must be revealed by God, not by men. Not by ministers, not by ministries, not by any power on earth can make someone to understand who is Christ, because it is His revelation. He is who He is. He must reveal Himself. So Godhead is not a knowledge to learn. It is an experience to receive. But the whole world is striving so hard. Let's teach Godhead. Let's make people to understand Godhead. Without the anointing of God in the midst of the congregation, in the midst of the fellowship, in those words, Godhead will not be revealed to any power on earth. No matter how powerful the ministry is, no matter how powerful the servant is, it is impossible. Why? We are talking about God, who is I am, who I am. There must be a hunger, there must be a thirst, there must be a groaning from the creation to understand who is my Creator. In that hunger and thirst, the Lord will show mercy to make that vessel to understand. Not those who seek argument, not those who look for debates, they would never ever understand, no matter whoever they are. The world's strongest theologians, God don't care. The world's most powerful president or the world leader does not matter. If there is no broken heart, contrite spirit, there is no room for revelation of God. So, 1 Timothy 3:16 says, without controversy, if you sense debate, run away. Why? There is no revelation. If you sense arguments, run away. Why? God will not reveal Himself. Why? He has no reason to beg people to believe in Him. It must be the people to ask Him, Lord, reveal Thyself to me. He is the King. He is the King of Kings. The 24 elders in the heavenly realm, they bow down to His presence. They keep on showing the reverence, honor to Him, because they couldn't stop. That is how holy He is. That is how beautiful He is. Without controversy, let there be no disputes. Let there be no confusion. Let there be no argument. Let there be no debate. It is what it is. That is how the Lord made Saul. Saul, Lord, tell me what I should do. Was there any controversy? Was there any bargain? No such discussion. The Lord said, Saul. And Saul said, Lord, here I am. Revelation, manifestation, something broke. The stiffness of our life will be broken in the presence of the blessedness of the Holy Spirit. When we broke, the Spirit of God will manifest through us. Why? He has spoken about you. He has made you in His image and in His likeness. That seed is in you. Nobody is giving us a seed of life. It has been in you. It is in you. It was in you. It just took some time to break, crack and come out. Because even before He laid the foundations, we were in His mind. Now, without controversy, just two words I had to speak thus far. What about the next? Great is the mystery of godliness, not small, not anyhow, not thing granted, not something that is easy to crack, not a treasure to find, not a doctrine to learn, not a knowledge to attain. Great. And the Bible says, He is great. I am small. I am small. I must decrease. He must increase. Because great God Almighty. Great is the mystery. Where the Lord has His preeminence as the great God Almighty, only there He can reveal the great mystery. Where God is not respected in the first priority of where He should be, God will not speak, God will not reveal, because He is not the great God in the midst of that particular fellowship. That is why denominations are blinded, because the preeminence is not to God, it is to those who use the name of God. The preeminence is the sign that great God is in the great congregation of His great nation, great family of God. Psalm chapter 40 says, great assembly of God. No matter how small we are, great congregation of the Lord. No matter how small we are, great. So, great mystery, without controversy, great mystery. Then, the next verse says, God was manifest in the flesh, not is. We cannot simply alter the scripture to feel good. God was manifest in the flesh, not is. It is done. It is finished because he glorified himself. God was manifest in flesh because it is written, it was written after the glorification was completed. God was manifest in flesh, justified in spirit by the power of God. The resurrection was made possible. The resurrection did not immediately ascend Christ to heaven, but the Lord was walking on earth for a beautiful time to encourage his disciples, to give them confidence, to give them encouragement before he ascended. Now, similar to 40 years of wilderness of Moses and Israel, there was about 40 days of beautiful blessedness of resurrected Christ, Jesus, and with his disciples in their wilderness. The Lord was leading them like the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. Then he was also ascended, and when the cloud came and took him. Now, God was manifest in flesh and justified in spirit. Now, justified in spirit, seen of the angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. In that final statement of received up into glory, the bride of Christ is part of it. Because he is not complete without his bride. The groom is not complete without the bride. The bride must be received in the glory. So redemption will result in the final glorification that has been waiting in heaven to be celebrated. So 1 Timothy 3:16 is where we start the sermon today, focusing on two words, like right hand and left hand, or right eye, left eye, or right ear, left ear. Manifestation, justification. But in all this beautiful revelation of God's way of speaking to his children, there is one verse that shook me, that really shook my heart. Why this verse has to be next to this verse? Why? Same chapter, one verse above. Verse 15. But if I tarry long, if I intentionally decide the time of my coming. This is the servant is speaking, but let us listen from the perspective of the Son of Man who is coming. If I tarry, if I take my own time, which you may say I'm slackening, I'm delaying, but the Lord says I will never delay. I'm not someone who slack, but I'm waiting graciously. Because you slack, you delay. Because of that, I'm forced to wait. But in his waiting, he is not delaying. The Lord is not a man to delay, but he is God who waits for his people who delay. Because of that, he has a name, Gracious Heavenly Father. That means, people, we are not gracious. We are absolutely insincere. We delay. Because of that, he has to remain as gracious God of heaven. But answer me, when the grace period ends, how would you call him? Gracious? Ask yourself. When the grace comes to an end, the Bible says grace will come to an end. It is not eternal. It's a time given for manifestation. Remember, because manifestation has to happen in flesh. Flesh is bound to time. Time needs divine time. And the divine time is God's time, which he called it as grace for the perfection, for the manifestation. If the grace comes to an end, when you go to heaven, will you tell the Lord, Lord, show grace to me? The Lord says, why? For what? Grace for what? Gracious Heavenly Father, until the grace is over. When the grace is over, he will always revert back to his original state. Righteous Heavenly Father, who is holy, righteous. The righteousness of God that remains all the time as a roof. In between, he sends rain, he sends drizzle, he sends flood, he sends fire. Depends on what the people need from him to survive. To be preserved. Now, in this process, he says, if I tarry, that thou mayest know, you may know, I pray that you know, I encourage you that you know, not just knowing Christ, he says, thou oughtest, you must behave thyself, not in your own house. not in your office, not in the bus and train, not just where you want to be in your closet. The Lord says, you must behave thyself in the house of God. What? The next verse talk about mystery, godliness, Godhead, the whole world is completely blinded, can't see it. But the previous verse, the Lord says, there is a way to it. There is a solution to it. There is a perfect method to it. There is a way of the Lord to receive it. You must behave thyself in the house of God. Not about the house of God. Not concerning the house of God. In the house of God. Deny thyself. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. I know, deny thyself. If I want to do something against, I will tell the Lord, have mercy upon me, give me a strength. I was about to commit something unrighteous, the Lord blessed me, I denied myself. Praise the Lord. The Lord says, behave thyself. What is behave thyself? Attitude. Attitude, conforming to the image of Christ, that is pointing to the character of Christ. Who is He? How is He? How He speaks? How He walks? How He performs? How He loves? How He fulfills, how He submitted, how He surrendered, how He served. That is the image of God. When He confirmed, the Lord says, reflect the character of Christ. How can I do that? Behave like Him. Behave thyself. Know thyself. We heard about it. Deny thyself. We heard about it. But behave thyself. It is not for us to hear. It is for us to behave. Why? In your behavior, in all our behavior, behaving like the child of God in the house of God is where the manifestation of God will touch you, will let you taste the manifestation of God, for God was manifest in flesh. You and me are in flesh. And the Lord says, if I manifest in flesh, are you manifesting in my presence? Behave thyself in the house of God. From this roof, we will focus on two blessed assurances. Manifestation and justification. But I am unable to separate these two from this commandment. Behave thyself in the house of God. If I want to keep it shorter, behave thyself. No, it loses the essence of it. I don't want to keep things short. It is what it is. I can't remove it. I can't add it. I can't simply make it to be sweeter by saying that, let me behave myself in my house, which is also the house of God. Good, right? Praise the Lord. But it is not written. Behave thyself in the house of God, which is sanctified, consecrated, reserved, preserved, glorified, called, chosen by God for Himself. Behave thyself. Deny thyself. Know thyself comes later. Deny thyself comes later. But behave thyself is our submission to the manifestation of what is going to happen to us. And this is what we are going to meditate today. If I am called to behave myself in the house of God, how can I manifest? How my life will be justified? Because you can justify. I can manifest myself or God. I can manifest the word of God or the desire of my life. You can manifest because the free will is with you. But justification is not submit to your free will. Justification is never under your jurisdiction. It is not your territory. Justification comes from above, who is the only one who is holy and just. And from Him justification comes, because we will give Him glorification. It's a cycle, you see. The cloud pour out the rain, and the sun again vaporize the water, and the water goes back to the cloud. Glorification, justification. So may the Lord guide us. If I am called to behave myself, not ourselves, not as a group. If 40 people are silent now, everybody is silent. That is not behaving ourselves. We are just following the trend, following the flow of it. The Lord says, behave thyself. Because He's coming for one Rebecca, and you are His one Rebecca. But spiritually, we are all one Rebecca. But that is none of our business. It is His business. But for me, I am the bride for Him. I must behave myself to do everything my groom said. Because your promises to your groom, he is my husband man. Amen? Whatever I promise my husband, I must fulfill it. Because I must honor my husband. Because I am the bride of Christ. I owe no one in the whole world. But I owe Him who is my everything. Now, from this one single verse, I am not going to preach on Godhead. Because the sermon is focusing on the will of the Father in heaven. It is not about who is the Father. That comes later. But let's focus. Behaving myself, can it lead me to manifestation of God's promises? Behaving myself, can it lead me to the justification by God Himself? Ecclesiastes chapter 5. So let's continue from what we studied last sermon. We need to do it again. Because we sing the song, I keep falling in love with Him, over and over and over and over and over and over again. Because He is washing us thoroughly, purging us, scratching us by His beautiful hand. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Now, last Sunday we read this verse, but this Sunday we will reflect this from the perspective of manifestation and justification. I will read from verse 1. Now, 1 Timothy chapter 3 verse 15 says, behave thyself in the house of God. It's very clear. Because God told Aaron, have you put on the garment of high priest? Yes, Lord, check. What about the pomegranates and all the effort and every part of it? Is there anything missing? Lord, I'll check. Okay, good. Now you walk and let me hear the sound that is coming from your dress, your garment, and let me make sure it is my son Aaron is walking. If I turn and look at you, if it is not you, if it is someone else, I'll burn them. Because God, when He sees, His eye is like a flaming fire. It shows light or it consumes. And the Lord says, Aaron, let me hear the sound of your walk. Let me hear the sound of your life. Because feet represents peace. Always, our feet represents peace. If I go to a house, I leave the house, I must leave peace. If not, something wrong with me. Why? The Lord says, how beautiful it is. The precious feet, the beautiful feet of God's children, that preach the gospel of peace. Because He is the Prince of Peace. The battle belongs to Him. Vengeance belongs to Him. Justification belongs to Him. Everything belongs to Him. But to His bride is preaching peace. I will slowly go to the place where the Lord will differentiate what Moses spoke, what Daniel spoke, what Isaiah spoke, what David spoke. The Lord accepted it. But when people of Israel, when they spoke the same thing, the Lord burned them. It's not right. It's same word. No, there are different license category. License? Oh yes. If you carry a gun, the government will arrest you. If a police carry the gun, they will say, good job. Keep the city in safe, man. So everyone has been given a unique talent, a unique measure of what is going to be fulfilled, manifest, justified in that person's life. It is not the same for everyone. Now, here, the Ecclesiastes, as we all know, it is the outpouring of the wisdom of the king who thought he was wise. Then he later understood that he was a fool. That is why Solomon is called the wisest king on earth, because he understood we are all fools. He did not understand wisdom. He understood the wisdom of men is nothing. In that understanding, he became wise. And God said, this is the wisdom I promised you, but you thought I gave you something else. He was celebrating in his wisdom. And he finishes the book by saying, Ecclesiastes 12, he says, forget it. There is nothing new under the sun. If there is nothing new under the sun that we can see, and there is absolutely nothing new under the Son of God, who is the one who made everything. That is new, because He is a new covenant. And because of that, let us fear God, number one. Keep His commandments, number two. That's it, your life is well. That is man's all. He finished his life with the most wisest statement of any man can utter around the world. Fear God, keep his commandments. That is all. That is man's all. Now that king, speaking about behave thyself, that Apostle Paul spoke in 1 Timothy, because they are all led by same spirit. Ecclesiastes 5 is the expansion of 1 Timothy 3:15. Now he says, keep thy foot, because your feet will always go astray. Run here and there, like a headless chicken. Run here and there. The Lord says, keep thy foot, hold it, bring it to your subjection. Keep thy foot. Then, when you go to the house of God, the same house of God mentioned in the 1 Timothy. But the difference is, 1 Timothy has 7 churches. Now we are, it was 1st church age. But Ecclesiastes, there is no church. There was no church age. There was no pastor. It was the times of king and high priest. And Solomon says, there is one thing that is common. Whether it is kingdom or it is wilderness, whether it is 1st church age or 7th church age, it doesn't matter. It's just a season. But what is common is house of God. And Solomon says, when you go to the house of God, keep your feet. Why? Manifestation is waiting for you. Justification is waiting for you. If you don't behave, you will manifest your flesh. You will justify by yourself in your spirit. Why? Two things will happen. One, the manifestation of God. Justification of God. Two, manifestation of men. Justification of men. There is nothing in between. Either one will happen. That is why the Lord said, either you serve me or you serve the mammon of the world. There is no one in between. Now, he says, be more ready to hear, that is listening quietly to digest and chew the word. Eat it first, swallow it first, let the body of Christ experience it before speaking. Imagine the Lord gives manna every day in the wilderness for people to receive strength. And manna is coming from heaven. People start doing so many things because they are going to get the food. The Lord says, eat the food first, then speak. Why? Those words are coming from the bread. That is why it is called the bread of life. He is the bread of life. Eat him first before he speaks. To do that, I must listen to him. Listen to him. I must listen to his voice. Over and over again. Remember I said, one great advice that I received from my father by the grace of God is when he told me, when your professor, the one who blessed me, remember I said, the one who made people to clap, to break my hesitation, my inferiority complex, my lack of confidence, everything, it was broken by a shout. And that professor, I listened to him all the time very carefully because my father, as a teacher, he told me one advice. If that professor comes and meets you once in a day, once in 2 days, don't forget that he is coming with 40 years of experience in his life. Every word he speaks, being a 17-year-old boy, you know nothing. You can't understand him. You must listen to it over and over again, understand again and again, because his preparation is still greater than your observation. That slapped me. And because of that, whenever I get a chance, I go and sit in another class where the same professor teach the same subject that I listened the day before. Why? I could not understand him in one attempt. Because he was so wise. And because I obeyed my father, after a few months, that obedience manifested. When that professor understood that I understood, he called me and I was about to quit. And the Lord told me, nay, you don't quit. Because you need to finish this degree for me to bring you to some other place. It was a mercy. And in all of these things, there is one thing that is very clear. The wisdom of Apostle Paul is nowhere near to your listening capability. The Lord says over and over again, that is where the revelation comes again. Why? He knows who is steadfast. Imagine the Lord washed you one time, you are still filthy. And Michael and Gabriel say, so sorry, this gates of heaven will not open for filthy flesh. And you go back to the Lord. Lord, wash me again. I washed you once. Lord, wash me again, Lord. I'm not good, you know. Second time, third time, fourth time, fifth time, sixth time, seventh time. Seven church ages. The Lord is washing us seven times. So we want that washing over and over again. But when it comes to the Word of God, once I listen, I can eat everything. Which means the wisdom of men makes the wisdom of God foolishness. Apostle Paul says, and King Solomon says, they both say the same. Eat it, digest it, before you speak about it. Why? The manna is the word that comes from your mouth, not the word that brings the manna. The Lord says, bread of life. I eat the bread, digest it, that gives me life, then I speak the words of life. Now, here the king says, hear first, because faith comes by hearing, but without acts, the faith is dead. So when we hear, we start doing, hearing and doing. Don't be the hearers, but be a doers. But I must hear first. I must hear first to know what I should do. Will of the Father in heaven. To do the will of the Father in heaven. I must understand and listen to the will of the Father in heaven. How do I do it? The Lord says, behave thyself, I will reveal myself to thee. Behave thyself. Behavior, attitude. Manifestation is not behavior. My character may be behavior. Manifestation is a change. I was healthy. I ate some unhealthy food, some cold drink. I manifest cough and cold and fever. But it's not part of me. It came from outside. But it changed me. It changed the atmosphere of my life. My temperature changed. My health changed. I manifested fever. I manifested cold. I manifested cough. But it was not part of me. Something came from outside. Influenced me in a bad way. But why this can be other way around? The Spirit of God entered into me. He manifested Himself in me. I speak like Him. I be like Him. I live like Him. And the Lord says, this is called perfecting. But you are not perfect. Why? He can leave you any moment. Can I tell all of you, the Lord's anointing is upon me now. I'll go and hurt someone. The Lord is still in me. No. He leaves the temple the moment the temple rebels against Him. He is not a slave to sit in your, you know, in the ground. He is a king to sit on the throne of your heart. Amen. Either He or someone else. He is very possessive. And now that Lord says, if you behave, I will show you who I am. It is not a threat. It is the righteousness of Him. Now, he says, king says, when you hear more, he says, than to give the sacrifice of fools. That is why we had one sermon on perfect sacrifice, acceptable service. Because the word fools can be foolish virgins, foolish churches, foolish ministries, foolish kingdoms, foolish people, foolish servants, everything can be foolish. When we become wise in our own understanding. And the Lord says, be a fool in the world, and I'll make you wise in my word. Sacrifice of fools is a rebellion against the perfect sacrifice and acceptable service. Which means the Lord says unacceptable service is called sacrifice of fools. As simple as that. Perfect sacrifice is service done in the wisdom of God. Now he says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, because the Lord says, I am the one who tame your heart. The tongue that no man can tame. And the Lord says, let me tame the beast, the heifer of your life. I can sacrifice that beast on the altar. Then you will speak of me. Because He will burn the heifer, and that flesh, the smoke will go to heaven. The offering, burnt offering. Remember, Abraham was told to make what offering? Burnt offering. Why? The seed saver go to heaven. It's a type. Now, he says, God is in heaven and thou upon earth. Therefore, let thy words be few, because that doesn't mean that we speak less. It means many are called, few are chosen. There are very few words that are called the part of the word of God. And those few are, the Bible calls them, they that feared Him above many. Which means, those who feared Him is few. You see how the Lord divides the people. They that feared God above many glorified Him. When He said many, what is left? few. Isn't it? Many did not fear, few feared me. And that few I glorified myself in them. And that few, they speak the exact words of the word the Lord is speaking, which is His righteous deeds. Now this is what going to set the tone for us to eat the words about manifestation and justification. Now, let's go to Proverbs 10:31-32. So let's get the experience from the king who had been through before we go to gospel. Proverbs 10 verse 31 to 32. So now let's look at this. Verse 31. The mouth of the just bringeth forth wisdom. How come? I thought mouth can make a sound, make a voice, make a knowledge, make some utterances, make some words. The Lord says it brings wisdom. But He is the wisdom. But He is the word of God. If I speak of Him, like Him, in Him, the exact same word that He speaks, then He Himself coming out of your mouth. Because He is called the word of God. Wisdom. Now, but the froward tongue shall be cut out, that is cut off. The judgment of God begins from where? House of God. And the Lord says, behave thyself in the house of God. Why? The judgment of God begins from the house of God. Now, temple of the Holy Ghost, house of God. Are they same or different? Now remember, when the sun shines brighter, the light is there, far away from us. But the light shines upon all of us. Now we are also in the same sunlight, but we are not near the sun because it will burn us. Now that distance is grace. The Lord has given us, it is sufficient for you. Enjoy it. Take it. Now, the temple of the Holy Ghost, the comforter is given to all of us and we receive Him one by one, personally. That is because of resurrection. That is New Testament. But in the Old Testament, they only had to see the ball of fire, the Spirit of God, who was descending in the tabernacle, not on them. Because they could not handle Him. He would burn them. They were not ready. The Lord had to wait for the blood of Christ to sanctify them. Resurrection too opened the doors of salvation for them. Then He gave the promise of Comforter, who is leading all of us today, and we call ourselves temple of the Holy Ghost. So in the times of King Solomon, people were not called the house of God. They had to go to the house of God because their houses are not called the house of God. But in the New Testament, we all became the temple of the Holy Ghost. The word ghost represents resurrection. Because on cross, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the Bible says He gave up His ghost. Remember, not Holy Ghost. He gave up His ghost. Went up, the power of God, saw the death, resurrected Him, went up again. And because of that, He gave down the Holy Ghost, which is holy now, glorified. And to give the Holy Ghost for all of us, don't you see, He gave up the Holy Ghost. That is why you don't see the word Holy Ghost before the resurrection. But there is one typo error in the scripture. If you all remember in the gospel, there is one where the Bible says He was filled with the Holy Ghost in the times of the birth of Christ. That vessel was not filled with the Holy Ghost because the Holy Ghost was given only in the book of Acts. It's a translational error of human. He was led by the Spirit of God, not filled by the Holy Ghost. So Holy Ghost defines the scripture as before resurrection, after resurrection. A thunderstorm is not the same as hurricane. We can't simply say both are, you know, mighty force of nature, we can call the same. No, it is different because it represents the season of God. Amen? Now manifestation, what season it is? It is a season of grace. Manifestation is what happening to all of us in this season of grace. And in that process, He wants all of us to be justified in spirit. It can't be separated. I am manifesting Christ for the Spirit of Christ to justify me, that I am the child of God. Amen? So now King Solomon speaks about this wisdom and Apostle Paul spoke about it. But we need to learn from the one who made all, the Word of God, Gospel of John. Gospel of John, let's turn our Bible. Solomon says, the lips of the righteous, it brings forth what? Life, and it can do things that is acceptable. Now, John is the beloved, and let's read from what he captured by observing the life of Christ, because they are all like journalists observing the Lord and taking notes like scribes. Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 31. Now I'm going to show you four different types of manifestation, some that glorifies, some that profanes. Let me show from chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 31. Now, here, John the Baptist is speaking, not John the Beloved, not Jesus Christ. Another vessel is speaking. So what he says is, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. What is this word? He should. Which means John says it is inevitable. Nobody can stop it. He prophesied, it is not may. We have to understand. The simple thin line between may and must is day and night difference. John says he should be manifest to Israel. That is why Jesus said, I came to the lost sheep of Israel. And the woman said, can you throw the breadcrumb to the dog? We know that we are not the sheep. And the Lord says, I can make you into sheep. Because he's the God of the Israel and God of Gentiles. No partiality, no differences. But until we know Christ, until we are redeemed by his blood, we are dogs, not sheep. Because we were enemy to his mind. And that woman, she humbled herself, and the Lord was rejoicing in her. And that is why Gentiles receive revelation first. You know why? They humbled themselves in their weaknesses. And Israel, they lifted themselves in their pride. The Lord is not partial. Now, here it says, John the Baptist says, he should be manifest to Israel, therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. That word is God was manifest in flesh. But that is not justified in spirit. Justified in spirit is where when Christ seated at the right hand of the Father, when he received the name glorified, Jesus Christ is where justified in spirit. Why? Justification comes from where? Spirit. Spirit of God is in heaven. We are all in the footstool. The throne is in heaven, footstool is on earth. And he sat on the throne, glorified him. The word glory, my dear brethren, it is always about Spirit of God, nothing about the flesh. That is what the Bible says, if you boast, boast in the glory. Why? You can't boast in the flesh. Your flesh is meant to manifest, not to boast. Stay humble, be simple. That is manifestation. Glorification comes later by him who is called the glory of God. John the Baptist made it very clear, there is no one can stop the manifestation of Christ to Israel. No one can stop, because he will do it by himself. So who are we? Who received mercy? By the Lord chose an apostle called Apostle Paul, who went against all the odds and preached the gospel to people like us. Now, from here, chapter 14. Manifestation to Israel, that is chapter 1. Let's go to chapter 14. Now, chapter 14 says, verse 21. John, chapter 14, verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, that is exactly King Solomon said, fear God and keep his commandments. And now the one who is speaking is wiser than Solomon. And he says the same thing to remind all of us. It was me who told him to write that as an invisible presence of God Almighty, the Lord himself. Now, here the Lord says, when you keep the commandments of God, he it is that loveth me with love, that he loveth me shall be loved of my Father, which is Spirit of God, because Spirit of God manifests in flesh. And now the flesh is speaking with the Spirit of God. and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. What? From the nation of Israel, it has come to one person. And the Lord says, I am Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I am the Lord. I am the glory of God. I am who I am. And I am telling you, if you love me, keep my commandments, I will manifest in you. So he is like fever to me. I have fever now. I have Christ. Oh, my body is now full of warmth. That is anointing. I am weak. Oh, my flesh is weak. Spirit is willing. The Lord said, I will manifest in you. That promise was when we all received the Comforter. The manifestation of the power of resurrection is when we all receive the Comforter to be led of him. Something happened to us. When we used to turn to the right, turn to the left so easily, nowadays we get a slap. Where are you going? Oh Lord. Sorry Lord. Manifested in me. The teacher manifested in me. The shepherd manifested in me. And told me, this is the way to go. Behave thyself. Behave thyself to have me. Oh Lord, I want to have you. Behave to have me. Be in me to have me. Now, John speaks about Christ. And now Christ speaks about himself. I will manifest in you. It is a promise, my brethren, to every one of us. The Lord told you, I will manifest in you. But 1 Timothy says, God was manifest in flesh. What's happening to us? God was manifest in flesh. That is concerning Christ. And now Christ says, I will manifest in you. I in him, he in me. We are in God and all in all. And the Lord says, I am all in all. But how it will look like? I can't visualize. It is okay. Don't visualize. You are not that great. We are not that great. Let's rejoice in what is revealed to us. Let's don't overstep. Why? It is not revealed for a purpose. All we know is, whenever you see the ocean, like the drops of the ocean cannot be counted, if I throw myself in the ocean as a simple drop, nobody can find me back. Why? I will disappear. He in me, I in him, we are all in all. A beautiful inspiration for us to learn. Now, Jesus says, the next verse, there is an adversary who challenged what he said. Now I'm going to show you the third type of manifestation. The first one, manifestation of Israel, promised to nation, because Abraham, he very carefully, secretly received the promise from God, you must take care of my nation, because you call me as a father of nations, right? Manifest thyself, O Lord. Lord says, okay, I will manifest myself to Israel. Now, he says, I will manifest myself to thee, a person. Now, look at what Judah says. Judah said unto him, not Iscariot, another vessel. The word adversary, always remember, if the Lord says, this manifestation glorifies my name, the adversary will say, this manifestation also glorifies your name, is he? And he will mislead us to manifest something and the Lord is profaned. Why? The word manifestation is very difficult to discern. We need the discernment of God. It has two directions. Now you see what says. How is it that thou will manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? What kind of question it is? The Lord says, if you love the world, there is no love of God in you. He said clearly, even before that. And Jesus answered and said unto them, if a man love me, he will keep my words. That is the proof that you love me. And my Father will love him because the Spirit of God is in me. He is the tabernacle of God who is Spirit, all in all, glorified, manifested. And we will come unto him. Ah, this is where the problem. We means plural, right? Because we do not know how to write this. How can you write this? Because God was manifest in flesh speaking and justified in spirit does not happen yet. So we are in between and they write we. Father, Son, two, we. And when denominations see the word we, make it two. Now there is one missing, right? The Bible gives you all the reason to be confused. Why? You know what? Whenever I look at the Bible, no one is needed to confuse you. This is the greatest book of confusion. If you see it in the wrong intent. It will confuse you, confound you, take you to Jericho without no tourist guide. Why? It is double-edged sword. If you humble yourself, it is life. If you lift up yourself, it is death. And the Lord says, we will come. He did not say that. He might have said something absolutely precise in his language. But it is not we. I in him, he in me. One. So it can't be we. We is two. One. And the Lord says, I will come unto him and make our abode with him. Verse 24 says, he that loveth me not, keepeth not my sayings. The word which he heareth is not mine, but the Father which sent me. The Spirit of God sent me. God shall love the world. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. Now you see the word spoken. That is what King Solomon spoke in the book of Ecclesiastes. Let thy words be few, because you are that few chosen by the one who called all. He has spoken. Jesus had to speak the word for all of us to manifest life. If he didn't speak, we are done. He says, 26 is a beautiful verse. But the Comforter, now the third missing puzzle is given to them. Trinity. We, in the two verses above, we will come, God and Son too. One is missing, that is Comforter. So let's make it a triangle. God, Son, Spirit. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, because the Lord was speaking in grace, my precious dear brethren, and the whole world is confounded. The eternal Holy Spirit, is it bound to time? No. Is God bound to time? No. No one can put him in subjection. But he himself put himself in subjection by manifesting in flesh, so that he can catch all of us who are wandering in grace and bring all of us back to the eternity. So when we speak in the grace, our mind is confronted by God, Son, Holy Spirit, because stage by stage, right? Present, past, future. But him, he was, he is, and he is to come. How many times he wrote about it? He is beyond everything. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He was, he is to come. That is what I'm saying. The revelation of Godhead is your beginning of salvation, because the Lord needs to touch you personally. It cannot be understood from sermon, no matter how many times you listen to it. You have to ask the teacher. You have to go on your knees and fast and pray to the shepherd. Not by books or men. Those are just giving you maybe a pricking heart. Oh, this is the right way to go. Showing you the direction. But Godhead must be experienced, tasted, eaten, drunk in his presence. And the Lord says, we, Holy Ghost, and that's it, the denomination are formed. I'm telling you, nobody formed the denominations. It was his very own words that was misunderstood. But yet, Apostle Paul said, Scripture is given for reproof and correction. I forget it. How can I make a mistake? I'm super what? I'm always perfect. Never. My translation is precise. Precise. Thousands of divisions. This is our precision. This is our wisdom. Corrupted the whole truth, profaned the apostolic faith, and everything is, you know, Jericho and Babel everywhere. This is who we are. And the Lord says, be careful. Behave thyself in the house of God. Because there are not many house of God. That is why he said, few. Now, here, the Lord finishes by saying, the Comforter will be sent in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So now tell me, what is the name of the Comforter? Oh, if I tell them it is three, I should not mention the same name, right? So let's simply call it as Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is the name. The Lord says he will be sent in my name to speak about me in my name. What is the name? There is only one name given for the salvation of all of us. And he is called the Comforter. He is called the Wonderful Counselor. And the Comforter is called the Counselor. He is called the Prince of Peace. And the Comforter is the one who gives you peace. He is called the Teacher. He is called the Shepherd. And the Comforter is the one who guides you in the truth. Then who is the Comforter? He is the Comforter who gave himself to us. Like how the manna fell from the heaven in the wilderness. He fell into all of us in the tongue of the dove, the fire. He fell on us. In the last days, the Lord poured out His Spirit upon all flesh to manifest. Remember, the Spirit was poured out on all flesh. For all flesh to manifest, okay? One will manifest to profane Him. One will manifest to glorify him, life and death. In doing so, he will show himself as righteous judge. Now, 26 says, this comforter bring all things to your remembrance, because you forget whatever I have said unto you, because he has said so many things, but very few can listen and obey. John chapter 9, verse 3. This is a beautiful type of manifestation. I have seen many people, they misunderstand. Oh, I have sickness. Oh, this enemy, man. Oh, this adversary, come on. I will come with the armor of God, then I will fight with you. Give me some time. I'll go and prepare myself, bring all my tools. Hey, enemy, meet me on Monday, I'll be different. Until 3 days, just leave me in peace, okay? I'll come back and defeat you. Why? There are so many people wage war against so many things. Well, let us remember. Read this and understand what the Lord spoke about it. John chapter 9. I will read from verse 1. As Jesus passed by, he knows exactly where he's going. He knows exactly whom he's passing. He saw a man which was blind from his birth. So there was an affliction laid in his body from his birth. The whole world will say cursed. Some curse, man. Some problem with you. Because there are so many sicknesses in our life. World will put you in a thought of somebody attacked you. Somebody is, you know, tormenting you. You have to fight back, retaliate. I'm not denying that. But it is very risky to throw a spear without knowing to whom you're throwing. Because it might be the one who gave you the spear. Imagine the Lord give you a spear to protect yourself and you throw at him. Why? Disciples, they were actually, you know, in the boat against contrary winds, striving to row the boat, and they saw a spirit and they were so scared. Hey, someone who came to destroy us. But it was he himself who came to protect you. How come the misunderstanding happened? Because of understanding things in the absolute worldly way. Let us understand the things in the absolute. In the absolute, who is called the absolute. He says, verse 2, his disciples ask him, saying, Lord, Master, you know what? We are super righteous. It seems he sinned. Who did sin? This man or his parents? Or why, you know, it happened to this? Maybe he was judged by God on earth. You know, we know the testimonies of the Lord. Laws of the Lord is perfect. Judgment of the Lord. We know all things, you know, Lord. We are right, right? And the Lord answers them in a way that they all get a slap from him spiritually. He says, neither had this man sinned. By saying that, the Lord says he is not a sinner. Lord, all have sinned, fall short of the glory of the Lord. These two are same. I will show you how, because that is the manifestation, the divinely behavior of the character of Christ. My family, my house, my people. Oh, you made a mistake, my mistake. Oh, you fell, I fell. That inclusion, that sense of belonging can only come from the children of God who belong to the family of God because they manifested Christ. Now the Lord manifests himself to teach a lesson to all the disciples, so he was not part of you. No, he is a sinner, right? Why you want to compare us with him? We are disciples on a higher ground. No, they are at the deepest valley. And that man was on the higher ground. And the Lord says, nay, he did not sin, not his parents. Look at this. But the works of God should be manifest in him. Hey, what type of manifestation it is? So he was waiting for the mighty, powerful testimony of God to shine through him. Oh, yes. And the Lord says, yes. This is a type of manifestation. The same goes to the lame who was seated outside the temple of Solomon. The same Solomon who talk about, keep thy feet when you walk into the house of God. Solomon, I am a lame. Your commandment not applicable to me because I can't even stand. Don't worry, lame. The one who is wiser than me will come. The one who created Solomon will come. He will send his two apostles, Peter and John. They will come and baptize you in the name of Christ. You will stand up because the Spirit will enter into you. Because of that, you can keep your feet in the house of God, because you will walk into the temple, the beautiful gate of Solomon. Ecclesiastes 5 was glorified in the book of Acts by that name. When he entered, it is explicitly mentioned, beautiful gate of Solomon. Now the Lord talks about another healing. He says, my glory was to manifest in this body. For that reason, he was going through all the suffering, persecution, sickness, and all the martyrs of Christ. The Lord says, they did this for me to manifest in them. What manifestation it is? Nation, person, now healing. Now let's turn our Bible to John 3. One single gospel to understand what the Lord himself spoke. Then we go into the dangerous man, Apostle Paul. He is very dangerous because he will prick our heart. The way Apostle Paul speaks, the revelation God has given to him, it is so precious to the point whereby the Lord has put everything, justification, sanctification, manifestation, redemption, perfection, all the important stages of bride, the Lord put in the ministry of Apostle Paul, and he spoke all of it, and that is ignored by people of Israel. The law of Moses celebrated, letters of Paul rejected. Am I correct? If they did not reject, they would not rejected the Christ, because the Lord says, if they reject you, they reject me. Why? It was me who spoke through you. Now, John 3 verse 20. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light. Okay? Neither come to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. This is about light and darkness. Because John the Baptist said, I am not the true light. And the Lord says, I am the light. And God said, he dwells in unapproachable light. So there are three light. Not the true light, the true light, an unapproachable light, the Holy of Holies. And now verse 21. But he that doth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. What is this? Then what is manifestation? It is a sign, it is a proof that the fruits of your life is from Holy Ghost. And the Lord says, the deeds will manifest, will come to light. When you see the work of the life, you know that I manifested in that vessel. And it says, wrought in God. The same word, it repeats in one scripture, book of Nehemiah, when the wall was built in 52 days, 5-2, and the enemy says, this work, man, there is no way flesh can build this. This work was wrought of God, not in God. It was done by God himself, by his people. God was glorified. Not Nehemiah, not the people. You see, it is called the ministry of God. A great mighty wall was built in 52 days, but the enemies glorified God. Not the name of Nehemiah or the people. But what happens today? Do a simple miracle, fever is gone, the minister is glorified. The ministry is glorified. The great healer who gave salvation, he walked in this place mightily, this place less, that place not at all. What? God has a special permission we have to enter the ministry of God? Ask yourself, which God? Which master? The woman who touched the tip of the garment was healed. She will be healed in the same manner. If the Lord touched her, if the Lord spoke to her, if the apostles healed her, the same healing will manifest, because the healing comes from far above. Healing of the spirit is heavenly. Healing of the flesh is temporary. What do you want? Heavenly or temporary? A permanent testimony or a temporary testimony? The whole world is running behind temporary testimony. Do you know why? It's called vanity. Temporary is vanity. Permanent is eternity. You and me are called to chase the permanent testimony, the mark of Christ. Now, John made it very clear that the works will be wrought in God. That is, our Lord spoke. Now, from the gospel, I want to go to the letters, but to keep ourselves focused, let's talk about justification. Because manifestation is something that we have to eat step by step, chew on it, digest it. But let's understand where we are going. For instance, all of us take a bus. We should know which stop we should alight, and that is justification. But when I board the bus, I receive grace and mercy, salvation to enter the bus. But during my journey, I keep on manifesting. Because before I alight from the bus, the chariot of Israel, the chariot of fire, before I alight from the bus, I must be justified in spirit. If not, that bus won't stop for me. So, manifestation is the process. It's a process, like a furnace that is burning all of us, tossed and thrown, in a beautiful way. Now, let's understand which stop the sermon is going to alight today. That is justification, right? So, let's go and look at the destination. Titus chapter 3, verse 4 to 7. Brother Zoyel, please help to read it for us. Chapter 3, verse 4 to 7. We are going to read a series of words, and let's prayerfully focus.
Titus 3, 4 to 7. But after that, the kindness and love of our God, of God our Savior toward men appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life.
God bless you, brother. Please keep standing, because we are going to read the four verses together so that we can come to the message. So, Romans chapter 4, verse 24 to 25. Romans 4, 24 to 25. Yes.
Romans 4:24. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on Him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification.
He was raised again for our justification. Amen. God bless you, brother. So now, the first passage that Brother Zoyel read, it had a very important word in it. It says, we receive justification by His grace. Amen? So, let's go step by step, because we can see the beautiful work of the Lord. The word justification, He spoke about love first, because if He did not love me, He has no reason to give me grace. Then He spoke about mercy, because I'm a sinner, we are all sinners. We need to see the manifestation of God's love. He showed mercy. Then we receive grace, because we need time to prepare ourselves. Love, mercy, grace. Now from here, book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 24 says, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Which means, the resurrection is pointing to the purpose which is justification. Because there is a purpose in all that Lord did. Resurrection is not possible without death. So, we are justified because He was raised from dead. Why? We were dead. We were all walking dead. He had to justify that we can live with Him forever. He has showed that. So, resurrection showed there is a hope. Now, in the same book of Romans, let's turn our Bible to chapter 3, verse 28. I'll read this. Chapter 3, verse 28. This is a common statement that we all know because of Abraham. But I'll tell you the danger of it. Verse 28 says, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. But the Bible says our works of God will be justified, manifest. But this scripture says, we are justified by faith. Abraham's life was justified by faith. But what happened was, it became faith of that father of nations. People say, let us be like Abraham. Let us have faith in God like Abraham. It is not the faith of Abraham. It is not the faith of Abraham, because no one has faith. Now, let's go there from here. Romans chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then what is faith? Is the one who allowed you to make peace with God because you are in enmity. And the one who gave you the door of peace, the door of sanctification, the one who gave you faith, Lord Jesus Christ, by which we are justified. Amen? Justified by the faith by which we made peace with God. That is why I'm telling the world is busy in justifying themselves. But there is no peace of God. What is justification? The justification that is acceptable in God's sight is the justification that can make peace with God who is in heaven. He is spirit. Which means I must be justified in spirit. I can't justify myself. The one who defends himself, herself, will never ever be able to receive the peace of God. Why? God justify his children, not the other way around. Can he justify God? Can I justify God? I can glorify God if I can live a life. But he is justified forever and ever. He is not someone waiting for justification. It is you and me waiting for justification to escape the judgment of God. Now, Romans chapter 5 verse 1 says, verse 2 says, by whom also we have access by faith, which means faith was not in me. It does not belong to me. It came from things above. Access to faith, as if we have the access to tree of life. Because faith is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And Spirit can only justify. Amen? Now it says, into this grace, wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. So faith gives me the power to rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Because hope is what I am looking forward to. But faith is by which I am looking forward to. Now, from here, we will go to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verse 22 to 24. Yes, brother, please read it for us. Galatians 3, 20 to 24, then 2, 16, 17. First three, yes.
But the scripture has concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith.
Amen. Chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. Chapter 2.
Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law,
amen,
but by the faith of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
Amen.
But if while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners. Is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid.
So here it is expounded clearly by saying, we are justified by the faith of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, the Son of God, the image of God, the glory of God. Amen? Now, the word justification, so far we have seen these words. Love, mercy, grace and faith. But where is blood? I kept it. It's Romans chapter 5, verse 9. Now we go back to Romans chapter 5. Because faith of Jesus Christ must tell you why he shed the blood for you. Because you are in flesh. Now, chapter 5, verse 8. I will read from verse 8. Romans 5, verse 8. But God commendeth his love toward us. Not just he gave his only son to us. The Bible says in the book of Romans, he commendeth his love toward us. That is John 3:16. God gave his only son. He commendeth his love toward us. Jesus Christ is the love of God. He is the love of God that is shown to all of us. He is God, was manifest in flesh, justified in spirit. So that love toward us, it says, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for me when I was an enemy to him. He died for his enemy, me myself. I was an enemy to his kingdom because my mind was not with his mind. I was walking to death. I was dead. Death is an enemy to life. And the Lord says, I love you. I became life. And he said, love thine enemies. It's a prophecy. And he says, verse 9. Much more than, whenever he says the word much more than, it means that have the preeminence, the higher importance. Much more than, Apostle Paul says, if I may attain the resurrection of dead, much more than anything I have, knowledge, doctrine, no, that's nothing. I want the resurrection of the dead to be part of Christ. And he says, much more than, more precious to anything else than anything else, he says, being now justified by his blood. Grace is okay. I thought justification comes from spirit. How can blood can justify me? And what the representation of blood? The glorified body of Christ. Is there blood in him? He already gave all the blood for you and me. When you and me transfigure to have the glorious body of the Lord is going to give it to us, are we going to have blood running in our body? Are you sure? It's called glorious flesh. Glorious body. The spirit is life. The blood is the type of the spirit that is running through the body of Christ. It is the spirit is life. His words and his spirit are life. So what is blood? Is life. So last Sunday we saw it. The life of the flesh is in the blood. He died for you and me. And by his blood we are not just saved. Not just forgiven. Remember the main goal. Justified. Am I justifying the blood sacrifice of my Lord? Or am I causing offense to his ministry? It is scripture, right? Do whatever you want, but make sure your life does not offend the ministry of Christ. Why? His blood is by which I am justified. Now, let's turn our Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Now from here, we are going to swim in the river called Corinthians. Why? There is no book in the scripture that talks about manifestation much deeper than book of Corinthians. Book of Corinthians is the book of manifestation. All the letters Apostle Paul read, wrote and gave. Every book has a flavor to it. A book of faith, a book of teaching, book of revelation. But Corinthians, the more I see it, you see manifestation. Now, chapter 6, verse 11. We will start from here. We will go reverse from justification to manifestation. Chapter 6, verse 11. So let's start with the negative shadow, because that is what good for us. 11. As and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So what you see, the new introduction and the last one is the name. For those who argue that baptism can be done in no name, wake up. There is no time to argue, you know, all this, you know, unfruitful, unholy discussions. It is written. The name is what all about. glorifying, sanctifying, perfecting. But the Lord said He magnified His word above His name, which means His name is still pointing to the word of God. You do the word of God, then His name is glorified. Now that name justified us. It says clearly, verse 7, the name of the Lord Jesus, we are justified, not just baptized, not just saved. Justified, the end goal. Am I going to be justified? Because the first John says, the bride of Christ will be revealed in the last time. Which means she is a secret. Rebecca was secret. Even Abraham don't know who is Rebecca. It was Eliezer who know who is Rebecca. Because the Lord revealed her to him. It was hidden. Like David was hidden. Secret. Now, from here, why I said negative shadow is, if you read all the verses above 11, it's all negative. It's about judgment. But the Lord finishes by a sweet word. I will show one sample. Verse 11 says, you are justified, sanctified by the name of Christ. Right? Good. So happy. Look at verse 10. Just one verse above. There's one thin line. Verse 10. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Oh, super negative. I'm not going there. No, we should go there. We should learn more and more about bitter things first, for sweet things to manifest. God has a purpose to put all the warnings here, because we will fall. Thin line. But the next verse says about justification by Christ. Now this is 1 Corinthians. Now from here, let's go to manifestation in book of Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 4. Yes. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 verse... Okay, let me read verse 14. Verse 14. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. Which means, my victory in Christ is a consequence of thanksgiving to God, because God says, I did this for you, we thank Him. Because we have victory in Christ. Amen? We thank God. Lord, thank you for the victory in Christ for me today. Not just on Calvary, it lives forever. I am victorious forever and ever, because Christ is in me. He's victorious. Now, in that victory, there is a pending manifestation. It says, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. All earth is filled in His glory. So manifestation, we talk about behave thyself. Now talks about made manifest of what? The savor of what? The knowledge of Christ. The knowledge of Christ is not doctrine. Is understanding the groom as a bride, not as someone. Understanding him as a bride. That is knowledge. And that savor is a smell. And the smell manifests. In your house, sisters, brothers, when you prepare food, you prepare chicken curry, after 10 minutes, can I smell fish curry? It has to be chicken curry smell, right? Because what you prepare is what the savor comes out. I can't smell fish because chicken is inside. So whatever I have inside of me, my intents, I can't cheat God. He will smell exactly what I'm thinking. I may say something. The Lord says, you have fish inside of you. Lord, oh Lord, it is compound chicken. Fantastic. You have fish inside of you. He will see through what is inside the pot that is boiling by the fire. Because the Bible says, the works shall be manifest by the fire. And the fire will reveal it. Amen? We can't hide. We can't hide. The smell will go to heaven. And now he says, this manifestation, he says, for we are unto God a sweet savor, not a bad smell, a sweet savor, because he is called a sweet river. Can I be a bitter river in a sweet river? His truth is bitter, but he is sweet. Sweet savor of Christ, in them that are saved and in them that are perished. What? For both of them, he is sweet. As we listen to the message on Friday, the Lord pour out His Spirit, His opportunities, His blessings, His truth, both on just and unjust. Why? He is righteous. He is equal. He don't have any favoritism. Now from here, verse 16 says, To the one we are the savor of death unto death. I thought glory from glory, glory to glory, and the last says death to death. Unto other savor of life unto life. Who is sufficient for these things? Look at verse 17. I talked about many. Let your words be few. It means, for we are not as many, verse 17, which corrupt the word of God. You see? There are not many corrupt the word of God. It means there are many corrupting. There are very few don't corrupt. The wise virgin. But as of sincerity and as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. What's the word? Sincerity is a type of manifestation. Sincerity comes with steadfastness. That is sincerity. No matter how weak you are, no matter how bad you are, you do what you can by your sincerity. With joy. No complaints. Amen? No grumpy heart. Joy. Lord, you call me to carry 10 kilos. You know I'm a fool. I'm a weak person. I only can carry this pen. The Lord says, fantastic. I like it because this is what you could carry. And you gave it to me. He loves it. Why? The 10 kilo is not going to make him happy. Is your few grams of your heart right? It's not even a kilo. It can make him happy. He looks at your heart. He wants your heart. The love of God can only be reflected by your heart, not by your knowledge. Amen? Now from here, we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. As I said, it's book of manifestation. There are so much to eat and drink. So powerful. I pray the Lord bless people of Israel to read this when the time comes. Chapter 4, verse 10. Always bearing about in the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our body. So the body of Christ has a blood inside the body. The life of the body is in the blood, and the blood belongs to Christ. And here says the manifestation, we must manifest the life of Jesus. But what people manifest, you know? Doctrines of Jesus. You have any doubts? Saturday I'm free. So we can have a talk about, I can teach you God doctrine. Any doubts about any doubt, I can teach you. That is manifesting doctrine of Christ. My brother, something, any pain, shall we pray together? Can we sing songs together? Can we gather together to pray one another? Can we just go and sing songs? That is life of Christ manifested. The Bible says, sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, encourage one another, pray with one another. That is life of Christ manifested. But what is happening today? Doctrine of Christ is manifested in the lips, but the life of Christ is absent. And the Lord says, which manifestation? What's happening? That is why every ministry is divided. Why? Why? They don't accept the true doctrine, but they want to show some different, and they fight with the two apostles, and they become themselves, you know, angry, and they isolate themselves from the true apostolic faith. Why can't they accept? Pride. Manifestation of life of Jesus is impossible if the bride does not humble herself to him. Why? The Bible says, humble thyself before the mighty hand of God. Who is the mighty hand of God? You? Me? Come on. There is only one mighty hand of God, who is sitting in the right hand of the Father in heaven, who is Spirit. Spirit has no shape. God is Spirit. He is not in flesh. But he was made manifest in flesh. Life of Jesus must manifest. Look at what's going on. Justification here. Manifestation here. But there is something between them. Something holding them together. Like one season after another season. I can't be wet if there is no rain. That is justification. Being soaked. But the rain must come. I must stand in the rain. That is manifestation. Now, let's continue. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 11. Chapter 5 verse 11. Now, let's look at the next type of manifestation. There are different types, but it all points to one single thing. It's like there are different books in the Bible. 66 books in the Bible. But it's called the Word of God. One. All pointing to one. Now, chapter 5 verse 11 says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God. What? So people can made manifest unto God? I thought God manifest in flesh. this is quite confusing. No, it is absolutely, excellently wonderful. It's a beautiful promise. It says, children of God, they can manifest God in their lives. If not, how can you be called as temple of the Holy Ghost? When the Holy Ghost dwelleth in you, you behave well. When He leaves you, you behave worse. Is it right? Manifesting God in me, who chose to dwell in me. And the Lord says here to the vessel, so powerfully, we are made manifest unto God. What I trust also are made manifest in your conscience. That is what I should put with sincerity. Conscience is a overly underlooked word. It's a state of your mind. It is like a temperature runs in your skin. You have fever, you touch it, you know, I'm running fever. Conscience is like a weighing scale for the Lord. Where is your state of mind? It will lead you to the manifestation later. What you eat, what you bring forth. Now, verse 11 said this. Now, in the same book, chapter 11, verse 6. This is Apostle Paul being brutally honest, like all the other true apostles, as usual. Only the true apostles, not the fake ones, not the false ones, not the self-made ones, but those who are made manifest by the Holy One. Apostle Paul says, you know what, my dear family of God, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Can it be better? Can he be more sincere than this? This Apostle Paul actually was very humble. Tearing his clothes, telling people, I'm not someone special. It is God who is special. He says, but sometimes, you know, Apostle Paul was rude because the word of God is bitter. It was not him. It is the word of God. And he says, not in knowledge. He was not rude in knowledge. But today, the divided ministries are rude in knowledge. This is my doctrine. Oh, I worship idol worship. Come on, Lord, have mercy upon them. When will you learn? How about you? How are you before? Just because we came to know truth, all those who are different denominations became, they don't have the truth. They don't have God. Who told you? Moses was met with God in the burning bush. So before that, God was not Moses. Solomon was offering sacrifices to Astaroth. So God was not with Solomon. What we know is what we do not know. The seeds of God, even before they were born, they are predestinated for the glory. He is with them. He is watching over them. He is guiding them. At the time of manifestation, they'll come to life. They'll come to life. The butterfly is not beautiful when it was born. It's so ugly, the caterpillar. But if you ignore the caterpillar, you ignore the beautiful colors comes with the butterfly that can fly. When the earthquake can come and destroy the whole earth, remember this, this tiny little butterfly will fly like a boss around you. True? We people, with all the strong muscles, we will be devoured by the earth if the earthquake comes. But that tiny little butterfly, which is not a bird, but an insect, because of the wings of faith, it will fly like a king. But the whole world will be shaking. The butterfly will not feel any tremor. Why? It is flying. The beauty of God is reserved to manifest at the end. In between, you and me, we are all submitting to the process. What's the process? Manifestation. Manifestation is a process. It is not an event. Amen? So now, 2 Corinthians, good. Now we go to 1 Corinthians, the big sister. 1 Corinthians, chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. So, what do we see here and what the life of Jesus will do to me? Chapter 14, verse 23 to 26. It says, if therefore the whole church be come together into one place, the definition of the house of God. Because the Bible says whole. what Jesus said, whole. Soul, spirit, body is what? Whole. To the Lord who called all of us, I am your whole. He gave all to us. And he says, when the whole congregation come to the place where he is standing, he says, and all speak with tongues, and there come in those that are unlearned or unbelievers, will they not say that they are mad? This is not focusing on the manifestation of gifts, because it has become the rooms of pride and show off. Not having a stage of limelight. You know, I have the gift of healing, but gift of prophecy will come next month. I ordered it. I have just made an order. It will be delivered to my house next month. But today I have gift of healing. Do you want? I have gift of prophecy, but today I am not in a good mood. No? Tomorrow call me. What? What is this? What is happening to the world? Please tell me, what else you will prophesy beyond this? Tell me. Is there anything else to be prophesied beyond this? Anything else? None. Because the Lord says, whatever you add more than this, whatever you remove from this, all the plague will be upon you. The Lord says, my grace is sufficient to thee. Everything that is needed for the perfection of bride has been prophesied here. Then what the Lord is doing, he is encouraging them, reminding them, edifying them. But it has been compromised by emotional excitement. Oh, my brother, tomorrow when you board the bus tire will puncture. The enemy will hear what I'm saying. Tomorrow at 10 o'clock you will board the bus and the enemy will make the tire puncture. He will say, oh, brother, see, blessed man of God, shame on me. How can the name of the God is glorified by telling something that it will happen as it is? Nay. Remember this. Let's say if I write something on my paper, in the note now. You do not know what I'm writing now, right? But let's say when I write something, the enemy can see what I'm doing, right? He can see. He'll come and whisper in your ears, Brother Prasi is going to speak on Revelation 13. Tomorrow morning, I come and open Revelation 13. Hey, God is with me. Because the Lord told me, you will speak on Revelation 13. Tell me how the heavenly realm will celebrate when I say, God is with me. That is not the prophecy of God. That is not the vision of God. When Daniel had the vision, for 4,000 years, 3,000 years, 2,000 years, people are still banging their heads, understanding what the Lord said. That is the vision of God. Why? It manifests over time. It manifests throughout the grace period. It does something that changes the body of Christ. It does not glorify the flesh. The flesh can never, ever boast by the gift of God. The gift will boast God and God alone. Manifestation. And what is the manifestation? You see, when the church come together, those that are unlearned. Now you see, speaking with tongues. If I preach something that is absolutely doesn't make sense to those who are well established in truth and doctrine, but it makes every sense to a sinner who is in the church today, that was the sermon God had ordained, but not the sermon what people wanted. And the Lord says, are you speaking tongues to me? I can't make any sense of it. And the Lord says, who is unlearned here? Who is unlearned here? Then Ezra rose up, he read the scribe, the book that he had. He was a scribe. The Bible says, those who are learned, they said amen. Not just by lips, they received it. That is amen. I can say 1,000 amen. Did I receive it? Nay. Hey man, that is how it sounds, amen, right? Hey man, hey woman. No, amen. That is verily, verily I say unto thee. And the Lord says, amen, amen, Lord. I receive in my spirit. My spirit echoes, Lord. I received it. Unlearned, unlearned. Justified and unjustified. Why? My learning is justified in spirit. My unlearning is justified in flesh. Justification in flesh is unlearned. Justification in spirit is learned. Look at the next verse. But if all prophesy, and there come in one that believeth not, or one unlearned, he is convinced of all, he is judged of all. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What is this? How come all can prophesy? My precious dear brethren, the Lord prophesied about you, right? What he said? You will do greater works than me. You will love God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. You will love your neighbor as yourself. You will esteem one another. You will love your enemies. That is all the Lord spoke about you, right? When our life manifests what He said, that is life of Christ, the prophecy of God is uttered, shown by the life of God's children. When non-believers see this, what is this family? I mean, what is this brother? What is this sister? What's happening to me when I see them? Then the promise of God is upon them because they see Christ in you. And when it happened, that flesh was sinful flesh, He manifests, oh, finally I'm home. I was a prodigal, running here and there. Now I am home. By what? By how? Whatever the Lord spoke about you was fulfilled on that day. And when that happens, manifestation takes place. These are the deeper lessons. But what's happening? All prophesy. I also prophesy. You know, I have learned so many things of the Lord in the last 25 years since the Lord blessed me to taste all of these different types. If the Lord gives you something, first thing is for what? For the perfection, edification for the family. Number one. Number two, that family will glorify God because of this. Correct? That's all. But what happens today in all the other worldly ministries, the vessel that speaks wants to take the trophy of I am far anointed than you. Hey, you want to mess with me? Now show mercy upon this vessel. God will burn you, you know. I am the holy mountain of God. I am a sinner. No one is worthy in this sight. But there is grace. There is calling and you respond. And the Bible says, when the gifts of God manifest, children of God will manifest, they will repent, they will change from glory to glory. But what I see today, only healing, physical healing and physical glory. No spiritual repentance, no spiritual healing. Then what's happening? Sound but no depth. Shallow. Manifestation of men, not of God. Have you seen all the healing crusades outside? Have you seen all those, you know, what do you call, the holy movements outside? You would see so many things, but deep inside, nothing, shallow. Why? It's manifestation of flesh, not the manifestation of God. The healing of physical thing is temporary, but the healing of the spiritual real, permanent. Lazarus was able to come from death. He still died. That resurrection, that coming to life, was a permanent testimony? No, it was a temporary testimony. And the Lord says, now you follow me. That is the permanent testimony. When Lazarus lived a life, and that new man profited something, salvation. Now, here Apostle Paul says, verse 25 is where it is beautifully summarized. And thus are the secrets of his heart made manifest. The man who came into the congregation, let's say me, the sinner, a weak, insincere man, entering into the family of God. They all sing the song with all spirit, joy, with the presence of God is there. Even before the sermon starts, the Lord will speak to you. Why? The presence of God is a source of anointing. It is a source of revelation, source of revival, changing. That is what the Lord wants to feed his children, the rain. And when that happens, the secrets of his heart made manifest. Lord, I'm a sinner. I repent. I was keeping it all my life. Lord, not anymore. Forgive me and accept me. When it is manifest, all the gifts of God glorified. God and that person, not the vessel. Not the vessel. Now he says, so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you, offer truth, a true testimony. Report. This is called good report. So what the life of Christ will give you, good report, not men, of God who is good. Only God is good. Amen? Only God is good. So now, a few more verses. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. we have read the... Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 3, we have read the verse, but let's refresh that verse before I go into chapter 5. It says, verse 15, if I tarry along. Why he says, if I tarry along? 1 Timothy 3, 15. Why he says, if I tarry along? For instance, I'm going to Brazoil's house. I tell him, tomorrow night, I'll come for dinner. Please give me food. Make some good food for me, okay? Please. Didn't eat properly for 2 days. So, okay, good. Then I call him, Brazoil, if I come for dinner to your home, then you prepare the food. He'll be angry. You said you're coming. I'm preparing now. No, there is no if in what we do simply, right? But Apostle Paul said, if I tarry, because I don't even know what's going to happen to my life, because I'm completely under the subjection to God. And the Son of Man says, the same manner, no one can know the hour in which the Son of Man cometh. No one knows. So if I tarry, because only the Father in heaven knows. Because the revelation belongs to Spirit. The secret belongs to Spirit. And the Lord says, I submit to that. And he says, if I tarry, Apostle Paul says, if I tarry, you know how to behave yourself in the house of God. How do they know? Because he has given us the word. This is how we know. But the comforter is by how we do. Now, chapter 5. Chapter 5, 1 Timothy chapter 5, it says, verse 24. Some men's sins are open beforehand. That is blessed. That is very good. Because the Lord is killing us here itself. He is judging us here itself. That is good. Some men's sins are open beforehand, like David. But that worketh for life for him. He got Solomon. Going before the judgment, and some men they follow after. The Lord says, you do not know how I am dealing with my people. Because he is a judge. Amen? Now he is slowly moving to the word judgment, right? Judge. Look at the next verse. Likewise, also the good works of some, not all, not many, some. And that some, you know, you don't know. Some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid. Again, some. That's a manifestation happened to all of us. That's what the Lord said. Ye shall know them by their fruits, not by their knowledge, what they bring forth. Now from here, go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, or 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's complete Timothy, letters to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 8. Chapter 1, verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Apostle Paul is, you know, encouraging. Verse 9, who hath saved us, called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ, even before the world began. What? Even before the world began, it was given to us. Now, verse 10 says, but is now, whatever that was reserved in the past, now it is manifesting because of grace. He says, by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who had abolished death and had brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now, here, the one word that we have to remember all the time is the purpose. Because the word purpose is here in justification, it is also here in manifestation. What is the purpose? What is the purpose? The purpose is where the will of God is hidden. So the manifestation must fulfill the purpose. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 1 talks about purpose. Same book, chapter 3, verse 7. Same book, chapter 3, verse 7. Ever learning, never be able to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is the battle of vanity of vanities. You can spend all your life doing so many things. But the Bible says, the work of the man shall be burned, he shall suffer loss. Why? Vanity is nothing but loss to wait at the end. Imagine you build a big construction, spending all your life. Everything is good. Then you bring all your relatives, family, and tell them, let's do the opening ceremony. Let's enter the house. You wait for the ribbon cutting ceremony. A simple bird come and sit in the building and the whole building collapsed. You see, huh? What? Then all my hard work, all my time, all my plan, my strategy, my experiences, the Lord says, loss. But Lord, what is the profit of this 10 years of hard work? What do you feel now? Lord, I repent, I was wrong. This is it. The true wisdom you gained from this 10 years of mistake is not the building. It's you who became the building of God to dwell. It's worth it. There is no loss. Amen? There is only process. And he says it very clearly here. Verse 8. Now as James and Jambres withstood Moses, they withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. Who are those who resisted the work of God in the vessels of God, like what happened to Moses? And the Lord says they will be chasing after so many things, believing that they are getting so many things, doing so many things. The Lord says, it's nothing but mirage. You know mirage? You walk in the desert, you see big well of water, you keep on chasing it, it's not there. It's an illusion of your eye and the heat. It's not a living water. Vanity. Why he said that? We should go to Colossians, which is where we are all humbled by the Lord today. Don't forget, the Bible says, great is the mystery. God was manifest in flesh, justified in spirit. Great. Last two or three Sundays ago, I mentioned that we had a sermon on the mind and secret. And the Lord says he will only reveal the secret to his prophets. Amen? Old Testament. Book of Amos said that. But now, Colossians says something otherwise. Something encouraging. Colossians chapter 1, verse 26 to 27. What a mercy that we all received. Do we really appreciate it? Colossians 1, 26, 27, it says, even the mystery which had been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. The Lord revealed the secrets to his prophet. That is the Old Testament. Now he says the mystery is revealed to his saints. What is this mystery? Remember, mystery means no one can find it. It's not a treasure to find. It is a revelation to be revealed. It is hidden. That is where the word manifestation comes. Do you know the plain definition of manifestation? It means something that was hidden, revealed. That is the definition of manifestation. I was a good man, 10 years, acting perfectly, good for Oscar. But the 11th year, I was exposed. Whatever was hidden, manifested. Ah, man, this manifestation. No, the Lord says, manifestation means plain. It means when it is manifested, you know exactly what you are looking at. That is what the Bible says, the Lord has given a spirit of truth, not spirit of error. Because when God manifests, you will not have a case to argue. You will not have a case to bargain. When he divides the sea, you can't come and say, the sea is not divided, you know. You will see, you can't even open your mouth. It will be divided as plain as it can be. Which means the Lord will make our tongue to cleave to the roof of mouth. He will silence us, that we can't say that, you know, this particular land is very strong. The Lord will, when you speak, the Lord will, you know, make it, bring it down. He will silence us. That is manifestation. Because the Lord will be doing his work, revealing his work. Now, Colossians 2:27 says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, hope of eternal glory. So what the Lord did to all of us, he did not find Christ somewhere and put him inside of you. Remember this. He revealed the Christ who was in you, because you are created in his image and in his likeness, even before he laid the foundations. Amen. May the Lord guide us. Let's all raise as I read the last verse together with you all. Because how can we complete the sermon without book of Revelation? Because we talk about manifestation, justification. But without Revelation, we are all gone. So manifestation, justification. Let's turn Revelation 15:4 as we close the service today. Revelation 15:4. So I'll read together because it's a wonderful blessing for all of us. Revelation 15:4. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou art only holy. For all nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest. Let's all pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, all that happens in our life concerning manifestation, it is all pointing to that hope of eternal glory and your way of finishing things at the very end. Your judgments will be made manifest. And Lord, the judgment of the Lord begins from the house of God. Lord, we all humbly surrender at your feet. May you bless us to manifest your promises, your blessed assurances in our flesh to glorify your name, that you will justify us in your spirit, that we will all be perfected and redeemed. Our Lord, our God, we surrender our life, sanctification by truth, manifestation of God's word, God's life in our life, and justification by spirit. May you bless us to understand the Godhead is a revelation that starts within me. It is revealed within me. It is not something to go and search and understand, but it is go, O Lord, before the glory of God to receive the experience of who I am. I am part of you, Lord. God was manifest in flesh and justified in spirit. In Jesus Christ's name we all prayed. Amen and amen. God bless you all. Shalom.